We've been talking about the anointing, what it is, where it comes from, and how important to realize that it's really a manifestation of the empowering of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the life of a believer and what flows out of that because of it. And I've come to the place in this study where many books have been written that could take this far beyond anything I could do, but I would like to think that we covered the basics. If Jesse can comprehend it, the rest of us surely can, because he's a reasonably new believer, not new in years of being saved, but for a period of time he didn't, you know, when he was away, he didn't really have a lot of input in teaching. And so, but I don't want to talk about that now. I'd like to talk to you about what can hinder or stop the anointing. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit got up and left one fine day, like Casper does. Casper comes and goes, but the Holy Ghost stays. Fear of failure. What if it doesn't work? And I have a little footnote there. See John chapter 14 and verse 10. And we can look at that in the King James, because I know we do have that available. John 14, 10. Now, remember, we've discovered from the Word that the anointing is the empowering presence of the Lord in our lives by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. John 14:10 said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." That is so freeing. All we have to do is be available and speak as the Spirit gives us utterance. We talked about waiting this morning, and that's really important, not to step out and get ahead of something that the Lord wants to reveal to us or to do. But hindering the anointing, is a fear of failure. Many years ago, when Ames used to be in the Springfield Plaza, I knew a woman who worked for a painting contractor that I worked for, and she fell off a ladder and sustained a pretty bad injury, and she filed a workman's compensation claim. Well, they in turn went to her employer, and he basically put in a bad word and denied her workman's compensation claim. So she's left unable to walk without a walker in the beginning, and then a cane, but she couldn't climb ladders again. She couldn't do anything like that. And Faith and I were in Ames one day shopping, and there she was hobbling along in the aisle. And she always used to mock me because she came from the Midwest. She used to work in a radio station. And she was very kind of an intellectual person. And she didn't want to hear me talking about Jesus on the job. Well, this particular afternoon in Ames, and I saw her like that. I went to her and I said, could Faith and I pray for you? And you know, that was the first time in all the time that I worked with her that she said yes to something of the Lord. And Faith says, you're going to do it right here? Yeah, man. So, I apologize for all the times I've embarrassed her like that. I'm surprised she still puts up with me, but praise the Lord. So I just laid my hands on her hands, not a big production deal. I just wanted to release the anointing and pray for her healing. And I don't know if you've ever noticed when you go shopping, the store seems to be jam-packed at times. Well, this was one of those days when all the shoppers stopped and came to aisle 6. And they just all gathered around, and it was quiet as a pin. And it was the most amazing thing to pray for somebody in a public place and have the public stop all their chatter, all of their shopping, and just stop. But it was such a joy because I've never been afraid of praying for people in public. I found out that Jesus very often shows up in public places. But I have an understanding that he is where I am. So I said kind of like what Jesus said. I just showed up, but it's the Holy Spirit in me. He's the one that's going to do the work. And I prayed for her healing. Talked a few minutes, and everybody went their separate ways. And a few weeks later, she called and said, I don't need the crutches anymore. I don't need all my walking tools anymore. I'm so much better than I was. Sometimes the fear of failure can cause you to rethink. Like if I'd have listened to Faith, you're going to pray for her right here in the store? That could have stopped me if I let it. I didn't. But I didn't. And it wasn't to embarrass her or the person that was being prayed for. She wasn't embarrassed at all. What if it doesn't work? Did you ever ask yourself that question before you pray for somebody? What if it doesn't work? Well, yeah, all faith people, cool. I know I showed up in the right place today. Sometimes I wonder. The only time that really happened in the mission field was that deaf woman in Africa. And I know I've told that story because even myself, I questioned when the Lord said, blow in her ear and I'll heal her. And I heard these words out loud. Yeah, right. And they were my words. I went, oh, my word. And instantly, though, but I did what he said to do, and he did heal her. And another lady in that village got saved. They all know each other. They live on these little dirt paths through the forest and jungle area. And it was a marvelous thing. But I could have let that stop me. And I think there's that we could have, but please don't. Fear of rejection. What will people think of me? Another instance happened. I was handing out tracts in Keene with a person who knows Keene rather well. But it wasn't the usual way of handing out tracts. where you just go and you just hand them out to everybody as you walk along. I've done a lot of that in Europe, Eastern Europe, and the languages that we got the tracts in were printed in Slovak and Czech and some in Russian. But it was to be led by the Spirit. Now that's very interesting, to be driving along and suddenly, depending on the Lord to guide you, turn left. And you go left. And there's two people that had just come out of a bar, all alone on that street. There were no other people on that street at that time. Stop and give them tracts. And we just did that. Oh, it was Alice. I don't know if any of you remember Audrey's husband, Alice, Alice Wheatley. Well, but the Lord had said, I don't want you to go to the mall because people will just throw them away. They're not interested. They're shopping. So Alice wanted to go to the mall. There's lots of people there. And I said, but Alice, the Lord said not to go there because people will just throw them away. I don't care. I know the city. So he gets out of the car, and I'm driving. He goes running over to this guy on the sidewalk in the mall, gives him a tract, and out of his mouth, that guy said, I don't want to see any of these effing Jesus books you're handing out. And he tore it up right in front of Alice and threw it on the sidewalk. Exactly what the Lord said would happen. So Alice felt really bad about that. And I said, well, let's sit here for a few minutes and pray and make sure that we don't do that again. We went on. And we drove for more than another hour on certain streets. And there would be certain people on certain streets that we had tracks specifically geared to we could hand out to or for. We had them in packs. So whenever we would encounter people, we could do that. And then we all done, got rid of all the tracks. And we went to, I believe it was a Dunkin' Donut. It was a coffee shop, donut and coffee. And we went in and sat down at the counter. And while we were there, somebody was trying to get out of a car in the parking lot. Really lame. Or impaired for sure, and could hardly walk. And I spoke out loud. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you, spirit of infirmity, to loose that man. And instantly, that man just got up more upright, and he acted like there was nothing wrong. And he came in the coffee shop. And we did not go and say anything to him. We just let him know that the healer showed up for a cup of coffee and a donut that night. And Alice was so touched by that because that man never heard me speak. We were inside the coffee shop. It was kind of noisy in there. But that man walked completely unhindered and unimpaired. There was an opportunity. Well, what if it doesn't work? My question is, what if it does? If you never speak, you'll never know the what if it works. You'll never know if what if it does. And so I just encourage you. You know, we were talking earlier about speaking to things. There was an instance where I addressed a spirit of infirmity. I never talked to the person, I talked to the Spirit. And you can do exactly the same. There are lots of very helpful ministry books. When you read Andrew Womack's book about their back, A Better Way of Praying. Very informative. But Speaking to Things, there's another little booklet back there. If you find that in Gary's, I suggest maybe you could glean something out of that. Because the two go hand in hand, what we talked about earlier, and these two. What if God asks me to do something in public? Will you? Yes? Maybe next time? But the thing of it is, these are real questions. These are real things that people have told me. I've experienced it myself. It's like, only faith spoke it out loud. You're going to pray for her right in the store? That could have made me say, well, nah, maybe you're right. That probably would embarrass her and embarrass the person, putting her on the spot. But, you know, the woman with the issue of blood had no problem being out in public where she shouldn't have been. She wasn't too embarrassed to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, was she? And you see, that's where we have to come to. Some people call it radical faith. I don't think there's anything radical about it at all. It's just you've been given the anointing by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And God will give you opportunities to exercise that. Because it's not you doing the doing, it's him doing the doing on the inside of you. Well, I wonder if I could say that again. And be confident. Be confident in him. Because he's confident in you. Next one is fear of circumstances. But we'll talk about that next week. My desire is that we take these things a step at a time and meditate on them, give them some thought, and see if perhaps you might wake up tomorrow morning and dare to ask God to use you today. And then when he does, Don't get into fear, and don't let the thought of what if somebody sees me praying for somebody in public. My dear sister has a lot to talk about that. We've seen several salvations in a particular local restaurant, haven't we? That's right. Yep. Because it takes you out of yourself to be bold. But my boldness is not so much in me as it is in the Lord, because he's always ready. So I would just say, dare to believe God this week to use you. We're not here for nothing. We're here for everything. Everything God wants to do. This is how he introduces himself to people. I like praying for people in the bowling alley. I don't go out and make a public spectacle, you know, and all that. I'll just take somebody when it's not their turn to bowl yet, and I'll just walk over to the table and just gently lay my hand on their hand and just pray for them. Nobody knows what we're talking about. It's noisy in a bowling alley. And it is a public places are so neglected sometimes, because people do actually consider these things. They're afraid, they're timid. Leaving tracks. Thank you. I think the master of tracks was Brother Dave Wells. He had suitcases. He was like Gary on steroids. Everywhere he went. In the Springfield Plaza, going down the aisles and Ames, Walmart now, just walking like you're looking for a pair of jeans. Ah, that's neat. The pocket's up open a little bit on that shelf. Oh, here's a shirt in the pocket. You know, he was so crafty at that, and it was like an art. He was really, really good. Don's picked up on that. You know, it's when you go to a restaurant, have some thank you cards or tracks, leave them with your tip, and be generous. And that makes a big difference. So key things. People are coming apart at the seams all around us. You've seen it. You hear all the stories and all the news. And we're seeing more of that and less of the Christian influence. And we live in these towns where people are all strung out on meds, mental illness, damage that COVID vaccines gave people, and they knew it ahead of time, and now it's coming to fruit. And a lot of people are very seriously damaged in a lot of ways. It's time for us to be active. I'm not talking about organizing a big thing, but I'm just talking about personally. Be ready. Because people are really getting desperate now. My sister-in-law is going to get saved whether she fought with me or not. She'll find out I can wait longer than she can. And if any of you need prayer, let's take care of that if there's anybody that does.